These are just charges, but they're serious. They allege that he failed to report $550,000 in income. And the issue, I guess, that makes it interesting is that while he has to battle his own legal problems, he has clients and probably lots of clients who are like, oh, wait, is my attorney in trouble? Is my attorney going to be there? What do I do?
Right.
Joining us this morning is Mike Morse, Detroit's top attorney. Mike Morse is in here to tell us about the backpack giveaway.
Adapt and change things up a little bit every year.
So, it's our first podcast. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm thrilled to welcome the person that I owe everything to, my whole existence, my mother, Susan Morse. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
You know, when we were thinking about this, Mom, there's nobody I'd rather have here than you, and, maybe you'll become my Robin Givens when you're in town. Who knows?
Stay tuned.
I know you announced this year that you're retiring, so you're going to be spending some more time in Florida. But, you know, when you're in town, we'd love to have you on. And when you're in Florida, maybe I'll come down and visit you. We'll do it down there.
Oh, that would be perfect.
We'll take it on the roadshow. And, just for our first show, I'm going to show a picture. Who am I looking at here, Mom?
You're looking at your parents. We were so young.
How old were you here?
I'm guessing that I was about 25.
And that's my dad, and
were young. We got married young. I was not 22 yet, so.
How old were you when you had me?
I was 25.
So you don't look pregnant here. So maybe you're not 25. Do you remember where you were at in this picture? No way.
You know what? I don't.
So you know what I just realized, which is kind of cool? You'll notice the ring in this picture, and that I'm wearing it today. That makes me emotional.
And I bought it for your dad for a graduation present.
This is a Wayne State college ring, and I don't have a college ring from the University of Arizona or University of Detroit.
Well, and also he was a mass communication major, and when in our day, when you belonged to a fraternity, you'd get a fraternity pin. And so he pinned me, which is what you did before you got engaged, and it was a microphone, which I wish I had.
I think I have it.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I have it in my safe.
That was really
amazing. I'll try to find it and see if it's the right one. I really do. I think were they cufflinks or were they?
No. It was a pin.
All right,
pin.
I gotta look. So, sometimes I look in the mirror. This is my dad at 25, but he died at 49. And I'm looking in the mirror lately when I'm wearing glasses.
You definitely.
I see my hair.
Yeah.
And the glasses, not in this picture, but a more recent picture. But all right. Well, that's an awesome picture. So I'd also like to welcome to the show Kevin Dietz. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So I've been watching on TV for over 25 years. I know you've won a lot of awards. And I want to tell you why, I invited you to the show. You're a guy who just exudes the truth, credibility. I always liked your reporting style. It wasn't too flashy. It wasn't over the top. You really seem to want to get to the truth without taking advantage of anybody or making fun of anybody. And it just seemed, really digestible for me when you were doing your stories for Channel 4. And I appreciated that. And I know you're doing radio right now, and I want to get into all that. And I just thought this would be a perfect fit. So I'm thrilled you said yes. So, thanks for being here. And tell me what's going on with you and why you agreed to do this.
Well, as you're talking about my style of reporting first, I was born and raised in Detroit. I went to school here. When I got married, I brought my wife here, raised my kids here. So Detroit is home. So I never would want to get on camera or in front of a microphone and do something, some shtick or something that wasn't genuine. I mean, the whole point of me getting in the news was to try and make a difference, help people without a voice, and to make the community better for my family and the people around me. And so it always just seemed natural for me to report that way. But over 25 years, boy, we've sure seen reporting change. And with social media, we've seen it change drastically, where now pretty much anyone says anything to get as much attention as they can. And I really think you're going to like this podcasting format because it gives you an opportunity to really be yourself and you just sort of open up, and people who listen or watch will get to know you, and they'll like you or they'll not like you, but it becomes authentic. So I think this is going to be a really great, I don't think it's going to be an experiment at all. I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to want to stay at it. And I think once people who listen start engaging with you, you're really going to get into it. And I think people are going to find out a lot more about the law than they ever knew, because you sort of pull the screen back, you know, right, like the Wizard of Oz, and look behind the curtain. And it's suddenly not so scary. There's real people here. There's people with families. There's, right, you know, some lawyers maybe trying to get home to their kid's soccer game, but you pull in someone else who can stay all night. You're a team that are trying to get the right results for your clients. And that's what I've always tried to do. I've always felt that it was my job to tell the news and to tell it straight and to try and get to the truth. And so that's what I've always done. So that's what you're going to get here if you invite me back. Right. You're not going to get some fake kind of, hey, look over here. I'll tell you what I think.
Right.
And a lot has changed. And I think your audience is going to get a lot out of it.
I hope so. And I just, you know, I implore you to tell the truth. And this is a nice forum of things you couldn't have said on Channel 4 and things you can't say on your radio daytime gigs. I mean, we have less censorship issues in this type of format. It's our opinions. We're covering the news. We're covering personal stories, whatever we want to talk about. And whether or not, you know, viewers and listeners like it or don't like it, I'm sure they'll chime in. I get lots of love mail. I get some negative comments. My skin is getting thicker. I look forward to those negative comments because I'm going to engage with them. I'm going to share with the viewers and the listeners the negative comments and talk about it because I'm not afraid. And, you know, bring it on. Whatever, like it, hate it, bring it on. That's what I say. Let's talk about what's happening here in Detroit and in Michigan. There's at least two or three stories that are catching my eye right away. You want to lay it out, the first one, or you want
which one do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, the Carl Collins thing I think is interesting, and so why don't you set it up?
So Carl Collins, if you're not aware of who Carl Collins is, he's an attorney in town, and he's got you probably know him by his phone number more than his name. He has billboards up 855 Car Hit You. Yeah. CARHIT.
I've seen those billboards. Mom, what do you think of those billboards?
I think they're so tacky.
They're a little, yeah, tacky. Okay, well.
But the point is that you want people to remember the number. You're driving down the freeway.
But if it works, you right? know, yeah, who am I to say?
Right? I don't know, but that's just, yeah, everyone tries to get a number that they can use, right?
Hey, 855 Mike wins. I get it. I just, you know, it doesn't make good English sense to me. But anyway, keep going.
Anyway, so he's found himself in some legal trouble. He's accused of filing false tax returns, facing 7 counts of willfully failing to file individual corporate tax returns. Now, these are just charges, but they're serious. They allege that he failed to report $550,000 in income. And the issue, I guess, that makes it interesting is that while he has to battle his own legal problems, he has clients, and probably lots of clients, who are like, oh, wait, is my attorney in trouble? Is my attorney going to be there? What do I do?
Right.
So what is one to think if they're sitting at home and they see on the news that their attorney has some legal problems?
Right. So, listen, I've met Carl. I've sat as a case evaluator in some of his cases. Unfortunately, on the last 3-4 times, he hasn't shown up to court. And that's just a real world experience that he just, doesn't come and participate in a lot of these things. And I've known this for years about him. So that's just a truth. And that's happened. That's my experience with him. I don't know him personally. I don't know when he's actually in a courtroom and actually arguing a case, how good he is. What I do know is that these are only accusations and charges. He is innocent until proven guilty. I did read a quick comment by one of his lawyers thinking that this should have been a civil issue, not a criminal issue, and it looks like they're going to try to work it out, or he hopes they're going to be able to work it out, but who knows, right? He's definitely in trouble. It's not a pleasant thing. He should, he's going to need some time to defend himself. If he is a single practitioner, which I think he is, I actually don't know if he has any lawyers working for him, so I'm going to say I don't know. He is going to be occupied. He is going to be busy. His clients may want to get a second opinion if they're in the throes or in the midst of their case. They may want to get a second opinion. They're allowed, obviously, any client is allowed in the middle of a case to switch attorneys if they lose confidence or faith in an attorney. And that goes across the board for any attorney, even ones not accused of something like tax evasion.
That's interesting because I was Googling just to find out more on this story to see if what else was written on it or whatever. And one of the first things that popped up was an ad, kind of a blog ad thing from another law firm.
Which law firm was
this
that?
This was a Michigan auto law. And they popped up and they were commenting on the Carl Collins situation. And they basically were saying, hey, this gives a black eye to the profession. And, you know, you don't need to stay with Carl if you don't want to. You can jump ship. And if you're not sure how to do that, you know, give us a call and we'll walk you through it. It was almost a direct plea to his clients to call a different firm.
Yeah, I see here that you sent that to me. You know, that's Steve Gersten firm who took it over from his dad, Larry Gersten. Larry Gersten was a great guy. I'm not sure how involved he is anymore in the practice. Mom, what do you think about a paid ad on Google asking for for this man's clients to jump ship? What do you think about that kind of advertising?
Well, you know what? There's two sides to it because you can take a look at it and feel for Carl. I don't know Carl, but, you know, if he is innocent of some of this, if he was willing to pay off his debt, you know, he's also going to lose some of his practice because people are yapping at his door. On the other hand, it's business, and people are out to, you know, having been a financial planner, which can be very competitive, I've had people steal clients on lies and, you know, in making up things. So I've been on both sides of it. So, I mean, it's hard to, like, I wouldn't just accuse Carl and say something really bad about him because there's two sides to the story.
Right. I'm trying to pull up the ad. Keep talking, Mom.
No, sorry. But on the other hand, if, you know, I can't blame attorneys or not just attorneys. I mean, people do. That's just the nature of being in a competitive business, I think.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, you could look at it as, you know, smart marketing, go get some clients. Here's some people. On the other hand, you could say, wait a minute. You know, he hasn't been to court. You know, it's one thing to make people aware of their options. It's another thing if you're actively going out and saying, this guy's going down, he did it, you better get a new attorney now. And by the way, I'm an expert at it. It's just a different feel.
Well, I always felt when I was out there in a competitive world that I would never say anything bad about my competition. I really believed that, and it worked for me. Because, like, it makes you sound bad. I mean, really, it depends on who your clientele is, but I don't think when you're saying that the other guy, leave him and come with me because of this, I think it makes you sound bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, overall, I hear what you both are saying. You know, in my profession, it's really a bad look to take cases from other law firms. And when clients call here and they say, I'm being represented by this person or that person, you know, we try to counsel them to work out the relationship because it's just, I don't want people doing that to me. I don't want to do that to them. I don't think it's a good look.
Well, one of the things that he actually said, because it's like, how far do you go? It's one thing to be informational maybe, and then another thing to be over the top. And one of the things that the Michigan Auto Law ad said was that your attorney's no help to you if he's in prison and you should fire him. I mean, he's not in prison.
No, he's not in prison.
He's basically telling clients that their attorney is guilty without anything being proven.
It's the exact opposite of how it works.
So it's kind of, you know, in my opinion, it seems misleading on the law because he may or may not get disbarred. He may or may not go to prison. I don't know what tax charges have to do with whether or not the case is being worked up right or wrong.
Right.
I'm also on the other side, not saying that his clients don't need a second opinion because they may need a second opinion. And I don't really see a problem with writing a blog about it or talking about it, but putting an ad out there seems to me a little desperate. and it might, you know what, it might be improper, but I'm not sure, and I'm not going to say it is or isn't, and I think that people will make that decision other than me. But
I like your mom's approach, honestly. It's like you say, hey, if it's not, if it doesn't work out well, or if you think it's a problem, there's other options.
Right.
But not just attack and say, he's going down. You better run. You better jump off the ship. It's going down. But well, if you're saying, hey, look, you know, I'm in this field too. And if it doesn't work out, you know, we want you to know we're around.
Well, I also think that it's, you know, we all, whether you're in law, whether you're in finance, we base our business on referrals. And you want to be the nice guy or the nice woman. You don't want to be the one who was out there really pushing the competition. It'll come back and bite you.
Yeah, karma's a bitch, isn't it, Mom? And we'll see. You know what? I've never seen this type of aggressiveness. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see if karma bites somebody in the butt one day or not. Thanks for watching Open Mic. Subscribe over here, watch all the videos, like them, share them, tell your friends, and please, please subscribe to our show and share it all. See you soon.